Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Norman. Today, continuing our series of candidate interviews ahead of Saturday's primary election. This hour, we welcome in mayoral candidate Frank Genusa.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Glad that you are here. And I'll be completely honest. Before you qualified to run for mayor, I didn't know you had an interest in politics and being the next mayor of New Orleans. So why don't we start there? Because I think a lot of other people maybe aren't familiar with you. Who is Frank Genusa?
He's someone who is a native-born son of this city, third-generation descendant of Sicilian immigrants who actually helped build the infrastructure of this city when my granddad, Frank Genusa, of whom I'm named, came to New Orleans. He and his siblings, brothers and sisters, they were the ones who dug the ditches and laid the pipe and worked for the old sewage and water board. My granddad was a streetcar conductor for 20, 25 years, knew everyone in the French Quarter, helped assimilate the immigrants into society, and he really is the inspiration for my campaign because the infrastructure that they laid out years ago is the same infrastructure that after a century, 120 years, is starting to fail. And that's one of the prime items on my platform is to get the infrastructure fixed.
As you look, obviously you're a CPA.
Yes.
And you've practiced since, I think you took the exam 75.
Since 1972.
72. Long time. I got to imagine you're watching this unfold from afar over the years as to the trials and tribulations of the finances of the city. In your view, what is the most pressing issue for the city right now, today?
The most pressing issue for the city is for the city to actually work for its citizens. And to make that happen, we've got to have a budget that makes sense. We've got to have a budget that can produce streets that work, an educational system that works, a law enforcement system that works. We've got to prioritize what's important. And so much in the budget causes the bloat in the budget. And we've got a spending problem, number one, and we also have a revenue generating problem. We are collecting revenues far too often from our own citizens rather than from outside sources. And one of the things that I've proposed is something which could actually generate $200 million a year of additional revenue to the city without the imposition of a dime of tax on its residents and citizens. And that's the travel app that I've talked about.
Tell us more about this travel app and how would it generate $200 million, which would
turn the $100 million deficit into a $100 million surplus. In a couple of European cities, primarily Paris, which I've not been to because I don't have a passport, just never applied for one. Don't like to travel that much. But in Paris, you buy a travel app, and it costs roughly in U.S. dollars somewhere between $80 and $100. That travel app entitles individuals to discounts at Parisian restaurants, river cruises, sporting events, libraries, museums, you name it. And of course, that generates tourism dollars for the city of Paris. There are some 19 million people who visit the city of New Orleans either by airplane, by Amtrak, or by cruise boat. If only 1 in 10 of those tourists, those visitors, purchase this app for $100, that would generate $200 million a year for every year we've got those tourists. So that $200 million a year could obviously reduce the deficit and to an extent would actually be able to help reduce real estate taxes on the individuals and businesses that have property in the city. We're already overtaxed and overregulated.
You said that we have a spending problem. Have you taken time to look at the finances of the city of New Orleans?
Yes. And let me answer this question this way. The last time the city published its financial statements was in July of 2024, and they finally produced the 2023 financials. In July of 2025, the CPA firm that's handling the audit asked the legislative auditor for another 90 days until the end of September. Those 2024 financials have not been produced or posted on the city's website, which I looked at yesterday. I've looked at the financial statements, and a lot of things just jump out at you from both a revenue standpoint and a spending standpoint. With regard to the spending standpoint, we've got a tremendous amount of unfunded liabilities for the pension plans of the city workers. That's number one. That's a looming liability. Number two, we've got almost $1 billion of bonded indebtedness, some of which is long-term due in 2050, 2052, with an interest rate of 6.1%. You know, that's like putting it on your Visa card. So those are the concerning items that I have. We've got a bloated budget. We've got some things that the city—
Let me start.
Yes.
You looked at this, and you know a lot of the employment-related expenses, employee-related expenses are paid out of the general fund, right?
Yes.
In my view, in my perspective of it, when I look at it, I don't know that we're right size. I think we have too many city employees.
I could not agree with you more. And obviously, the more city employees you have, the more pension responsibilities you have when they retire. And once you've got a pension obligation, you're going to pay that pension obligation until they reach the end point of their own lives. And that could be, in some cases, 15 years. In some cases, it could be 45 years. So those are the long-term concerns that I have. And that's why some of the items that I've come up with in terms of revenue generation, I think using some outside-of-the-box thinking can actually be beneficial to the city and to its citizens.
Any other specific areas where you would cut spending? You've addressed some of your revenue ideas. Where else would you reduce spending?
One of the things that I've noticed, because I've got a DVR collection of the city council meetings for probably a couple of years. You know, when you wake up at 4:30 in the morning and the newspaper hits the front lawn and you say, let me go through the newspaper, then I'm going to look at the city council tape from last week. Each city councilman, all seven of them, the five district ones and the two at large, each have a budgeted spending amount of $1 million per year where they distribute these funds to neighborhood groups, social clubs, some schools, etc. And the question is, how much of that is to generate political power for the distributing council person, and how much of that is really beneficial to some of these organizations, a lot of whom are flush with cash, and several of them don't even file the required IRS forms or the required forms with the Secretary of State. And to me, that's a minor boondoggle. That's $7 million, but that's still $7 million. That's not exactly pocket money.
So your perspective is you identify the core priorities, core services that need to be delivered,
yes.
Right? Potable water.
Yes.
Sewerage.
Yes.
Drainage.
Yes.
Streets.
Police and fire protection.
Yes.
Streets. And you go about developing and trying to ascertain what it's going to cost to do so. And then don't talk about anything else until you figure out if you have enough money to do that.
Because you've got to budget for your expenses first, and you've got to look at those expenses and see what can be made more effective and more efficient. I mean, that's why, although people say, oh, you can't run a city like a business. Well, I think you absolutely can, with some modifications.
Well, you have to.
We have to.
I mean, the principles are the same.
Exactly. It's all about people, projects, and money.
I mean, you know, the profit that you make is not necessarily money. It's customer satisfaction.
Exactly.
It's constituent satisfaction with the services that are being rendered, the quality of life that you generate by virtue of providing efficiently delivered services.
That's why in almost every venue that I attend, I always talk about servant leadership. Mm-hmm. We've been a city that's been just so overburdened with political junkies, political power brokers, people who perhaps are more interested in their own political future rather than serving the needs of the people. You know, servant leadership is very important. Several years ago, my wife and I received the medallion of the Order of St. Louis the Ninth, for whom our cathedral is named. And that was because of the servant leadership that we exhibited during our tenure in our parish, St. Dominic Parish in New Orleans. We mentored engaged couples for marriage. We've been doing this for almost 25 years. When you mentor engaged couple for marriage, give them a good foundation, children come along, neighborhoods get built, neighborhoods get friendly, engaged, and that makes for a better city. It's all about servant leadership. If I can do that for engaged couples, and I can do that for my own clients, I can do it for the city of New Orleans.
I think the elephant in the room for many people listening is why? Why are you running for mayor of New Orleans? You've registered as a Republican in a overwhelmingly Democratic city.
That's correct.
Do you think you can win the election?
I absolutely do believe I can, and that might be a stretch for some people to believe, but I've come too far to stop now. I have engaged almost every community in this city, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and I get some of the most wonderful greetings from people, even people who finally realize that I'm the only candidate with USA at the end of his name. I think it can be done because I think people are more interested now in a city that's got a future where there can be real inclusive prosperity for everybody. You know, I don't have any donors to pay back. I've got no political patronage to give out. All I can do is work from my heart for the people of this city. I'm a native-born son of this city. I don't want to see this city die. I don't want to write its eulogy. I want to see its rebirth. And I think I've got the skill set, I've got the drive and the determination to actually make it happen.
Sounds like a labor of love, and it sounds
exactly
like an opportunity to share your thoughts and put your two cents into the conversation. But the latest UNO poll, 69% of registered Republicans said they're voting for Helena Moreno.
That may be true.
She's a Democrat.
Based on the polls, and she is indeed a Democrat. But I will mention one thing to you. 5 weeks ago, I was an asterisk in the poll, indicating less than 1%. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was polling at 7%. So something is happening somewhere. Am I draining Republican votes from the other candidate? Possibly. Then again, my campaign started late. I haven't been campaigning since November of 2024. My first campaign event was a Zoom call on July 20th. And I've been to almost 50 different venues in the last 66 days. My opponents call me the happy warrior because every time they turn around, whether I'm invited or not, I'm there. And I had to fight to get on some stages. And I had to fight in front of a stage to make my voice known when I was unfortunately not allowed to speak when prior to that at this 1,200-person audience, they indicated that you can't speak, Mr. Janusa. I said I will speak, and I made my presence known because sometimes you got to fight for what's right.
We're talking with Frank Janusa. He is a candidate for the mayor of New Orleans. He is a registered Republican. He is on the ballot, and we'll find out some more of his ideas when we come back after this. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Normand, as we interview the candidates who want to be the next mayor of New Orleans with the primary election October 11th. You heard Mr. Janusa say he's polling at 7% in one of the publicly released polls. That was a couple of weeks ago. Where does he think he is now in the polls? We'll find out after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking with Frank Janusa, the Republican candidate for mayor of New Orleans in a Democrat-dominated field on the ballot. You said that, and we've seen the one publicly released poll that had you at 7%.
Yes.
Have you done any internal polling? Is that something that is even within your budget? And where do you think you are now in the polls? Because that was a few weeks ago you had that 7%.
Correct. We have paid for no polls ourselves. And frankly, the best poll is going to be the one on Saturday when the results come in, because I expect that there's going to be a surge of voters coming my way just because I've engaged a lot of them personally. And I've talked to them about ideas and issues that actually resonate with them. You know, one of the ideas that I've proposed in my platform is to actually get the citizens of New Orleans to actually own a piece of the New Orleans Saints. The Saints have a phenomenal fan base here. It's entirely a possibility that the NFL would approve something like that. Look at the Green Bay Packers. What's their ownership base is primarily citizens of Green Bay. So this is an idea that I think is worth looking at. Another idea I've had that I've mentioned to lots of people is to take the Wisner Trust and actually sell it back to the people of New Orleans. That way, the city can collect the $100 million that this thing is worth, assuming it has 100% ownership of it, and that's still in question because of the court cases. And that would generate to those individuals who care to purchase an interest in it, where they could get the 8, 9, 10% per year return on 33,000 acres of prime oil and gas land in three parishes in southern Louisiana, Jefferson, Lafourche, and St. John the Baptist.
That whole thing, the way it went down with the trust, had to been, especially with you, with your training, had to be problematic when it unfolded, to say the least.
It was the oddest thing in the world. And in the last couple of weeks, even though running for office is like having an additional two lives to handle on a daily basis, I pulled out about 120 pages of the court filings. And I went back to the original will of Edward Wisner. And it's fascinating how convoluted this thing has become since 1913, 1914, where in his original will, the corpus, the assets at the termination of the will, which would have been around 2012, I believe, should have gone entirely to the city. But the administration prior to the current one had a sort of a compromise agreement with the other heirs, the other beneficiaries. And the other beneficiaries, other than the Wisner family heirs themselves, which have a 40% interest, the other 60% interest is roughly divided 35 to the city, 12 to LSU, 12 to Tulane, and a little over 1% to the Salvation Army. And even more odd is that the city has, quote, purchased the Wisner interest from Tulane and from LSU, which have the same percentage interest, for divergently different amounts, which makes no sense to me at all. And if you're going to assume that you already own 100% of the trust, why would you purchase interest that you already own from somebody else that has a tentative or even speculative interest? So it's very confusing. That's why we have the courts.
So we've talked about, you know, the fiscal position that this the city government finds itself in. What do you think in the first 4 to 6 weeks, if you were fortunate enough to win, what would be the issue that you would focus on first?
Well, the first thing I would do is actually start meeting with the department heads of the major departments in the city of New Orleans, and at the same time meet with all seven of the city councilmen, council persons, to first of all have a truce between the city administration and the city council, because they've been at war for way, way too long, which is why nothing gets done. But we need to first focus on the infrastructure. We've got to get the sewage and water board on balance. We've got to get them to work with Department of Public Works. We've got to get the drains cleaned. We've got to fix the potholes. We've got to get the NOPD engaged more with the citizens of New Orleans. I had a delightful meeting with the 3rd District policeman at a coffee shop in Lakeview about a week or so ago. These guys put their life on the line every day for the city of New Orleans. And every time I see a policeman or a policewoman, I always tell them, thank you. Thank you for your service. And it's important that we engage our citizens to look at our police force as those who are here to protect and serve. We've got to get crime down, even though statistically we've come down a bit. What, in the last 7 or 8 days, we've had 7 or 8 murders. And it's making the news again. It's making national news. We can't have that. And we've got to start fixing the educational system. We've got to bring a sense of self-esteem to our young boys and girls, starting in pre-K through 12th grade, that if you want to make a better city, you've got to exercise your own personal characteristics. You've got to engage with other people. You need to learn about your city. You need to learn about why this city is here in the first place.
Many mayors previously have complained, however, that they have very little say over the education in the city of New Orleans. Mayors have wanted to have much greater influence over the schools and over the educational programs, but by law, those things are separated, and the mayor has little influence other than the bully pulpit.
Right.
How would you, if you were able to become mayor, make those changes you'd like to see in education?
Well, even though I'm the happy warrior, I think I could exercise some discretion and some grit and fortitude on the bully pulpit itself, but actually talking to the school board members. I actually taped their school board meetings too. And sometimes watching the school board meetings is it's an exercise in futility. But remember, the mayor actually presents the budget to the city council. And part of that budget represents the city taxes that go to the school board. So there's a nexus between the two.
No, I was going to say, I'm just curious. There's a lot of chatter by all of the candidates this year about helping the school system. There's no money to help the school system.
No.
I mean, you know, that's aspirational. Yes, it's important, but I don't know where you're going to get the money from. If we have too many employees, we find ourselves in a deficit posture of 65 to 100 million. I've had some people tell me they think it's 160 million. You know, and we don't know. We'll know in about 3 weeks, which that's a tragedy in itself, that the Department of Revenue, the finance department of the city administration, cannot determine what the deficit is. I mean, think about how scary that is. You're a CPA.
It's beyond scary.
I mean, you're a CPA. You know, what in your management letter, what would you be saying to your client? You know,
Well, first of all, trying to find the money for the school board and for others. First, every year, these 19 million people that come to the city, those individuals, visitors and tourists, and the individual residents of the city spend $9.6 billion in the city of New Orleans. Virtually all of that is subject to the city's 5% sales tax. The city should be collecting $480 million of sales tax each year. In 2023, the last available financial statements, they collected only $260 million. So there's a $220 million uncollected gap of sales taxes.
Just on tourists?
No, for everyone.
For everyone.
For
okay.
all the spending in the city. And that, of course, would require some trained auditors to get in, review those sales tax reports. And interestingly, if the city is short $200-plus million, so is the state of Louisiana because they have a matching 5%. So that's $200 million right there. The travel app could produce $200 million. The sale of the Wisner Trust would produce $100 million. Have I just found $500 million of revenue to the city? That's a $500 million. That's not pocket change. That could save the city and start paying down some of this debt we have, which is overburdening the city.
You told us you were born and bred.
Yes.
Raised in New Orleans. Your home took on 8 feet of water in Hurricane Katrina. You've lived here through the good times and the bad times.
Yes.
What was it? You've never run for any public office before. What was it that made you decide now you want to run to be mayor? Was there an instance? Was there an event? Was there a conversation? Did something just, or was this something you've kind of been considering for a long time?
It's something that I've given thought to over the years. Never, I think, too seriously because of the responsibility that is attentive to it. But interestingly, about a month before the qualifying date, I actually had a full-color dream. And in this dream, there were my two grandfathers, whom I never met. One died in 1929, one died in 1947. My grandfather, Frank, for whom I'm named, was a streetcar conductor. My other grandfather, whose name was Robert, was a St. Charles Parish deputy sheriff. In this dream, they both come to me in their full color regalia. My grandfather, Frank, with his streetcar conductor uniform on, striped pants, his special hat. My other grandfather with his sheriff's hat and his gun at his side. They're talking to each other on a bench in my living room. My parents, both deceased, are sitting on one side and they're conversing with my wife. And my two grandfathers are talking to each other in this dream, full color, vibrant as I'm looking at the two of you right now. And they turn to each other, they chatter, and then they both look at me, they point at me, and they say, "Just do it." Can I tell them no? So that's why I'm here.
So as you look at other issues here, what do you see as other big challenges?
I think one of the biggest challenges is to generate economic development for the city. And in all the forums I've been to, everybody talks about jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, jobs are one thing, but creating a career is something totally different. Because once you're in a career, then your path is generally upward. If you're in a job, sometimes that job gets terminated and you're job hopping. That doesn't create stability for a family, much less for a city. One of the things that I've looked at was talking about progenitors of the city. Isaac Delgado, in his will, left his property to basically Delgado Community College through the city. He had in his will that the Albania plantation, which he owned and willed to the city, this is a sugarcane plantation, a former slave plantation, right outside the town of Generette, 6,500 acres of prime sugarcane land, which is harvestable yearly. It's worth $20 million. The city is collecting an average of $200,000 a year, a 1% rate of return on something that, frankly, the city should sell, particularly in a city that's a majority black city. So that $20 million, I would propose, go into a new trade school at the Delgado campus or campuses, start training people in plumbing and electricity and carpentry, and take those skills and rebuild that old naval station that's at Poland Avenue and Chartres and Dauphine, which I visited last week and did a video. That's over 2 million square feet of habilitatable property. That could produce 2,000 1,000 square foot apartments for people. That's where the regeneration of new housing starts could come from. That's not rocket science.
What do you see as the future of New Orleans at a time when the city has started losing population again after the steady climb following the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, with economic indicators not kind to the city of New Orleans? An article today in the newspaper that you said gets thrown on your lawn each morning.
Which I read this morning at 5, yes.
Talking about the struggles of the tallest building in New Orleans,
yes.
And other downtown high-rises,
yes.
That are not being able to meet their monthly debts.
Correct.
What does the city of New Orleans' future look like at a time when tourism continues to grow?
Yes.
But it looks like everything else, by and large, is shrinking.
Well, interestingly, while tourism is our bread and butter, I think we rely on it sometimes way too much. And that needs to change. And that's where economic development needs to change. We've got to have something a lot better than a city department that's got a $2 million budget out of a $1.6 or $1.8 billion budget that's being proposed. We can't develop economic development on a budget that's handled by maybe two or three or four people. We need to have something that's more concise, something that's more efficient, and something that will take, for instance, ambassadors of this city out to other cities. You know, go talk to the titans of industry. Go talk to the Fortune 500 companies that are all over this country to show them the assets that we have here that other cities would die for. You know, I traveled New Orleans East in the last 60 days and I have in the last 6 years. And all I see out there is undeveloped land that's relatively cheap in cost. But New Orleans East has the three R's that I talk about. It's got the river, it's got the rails, and it's got the roadway. And it's just the perfect haven for industry, logistics, transportation, and manufacturing.
But these developments haven't come. These developments haven't happened, particularly in New Orleans East, but citywide. What do you see as the impediments that are preventing this growth, and how could you turn that around?
I think the impediment has been that so many people from outside the city view the city government as inefficient, inept, and simply not meeting the needs of the people. And there's the age-old concept of cronyism and corruption and political payback. And I think that's put a real black eye on the city.
A black eye that we don't need.
We're talking with candidate for mayor of New Orleans, Frank Janusa. We'll be back after this. He's Neil Norman. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Frank Janusa on WWL. We invited all the candidates polling 5% or more in the mayor's and sheriff's race to join us here for a conversation on WWL. Frank Janusa, in one of the most recent publicly released polls, got 7%. A lot of people may find that surprising that a Republican in the city of New Orleans is able to even draw that much. And that's bared out by the polling that finds that the vast majority, nearly 70% of Republicans in the UNO poll, say they're going to vote for a Democrat. Maybe because they feel like they're throwing their vote away if they vote for a Republican who, in their mind, cannot win. Why do you feel you can win? And what do you say to those people who feel a vote for you is being thrown away?
Well, I don't think a vote for me is thrown away. But I will tell you this. I think a lot of the people who took those initial polls didn't really know me or my platform or what I stood for because I got into the race so late. The other people who are running, some of them have been running for office since November 2024, and if you use a little stretch of the imagination, maybe for the last 8 years. I'm a guy who believes in miracles. Shreveport elected a Republican mayor. Last year or so, Baton Rouge elected a Republican mayor, Sid Edwards. I'm expecting the trifecta that New Orleans will actually elect a Republican mayor. A long shot, perhaps, but I've been in this too long to stop now. And I'm bringing a message to people that they haven't heard before, because they know that I don't have any political donors to pay back. I've got no special favors. I'm here to lead this city, lead it from oblivion to a place of honor. I want to make it the Queen City of the South like it used to be. I want to make it the Queen City of the South again.
You said you believe in miracles, but you don't believe in owing people money for your campaign. You've largely financed your campaign with your own savings.
That's correct.
What if someone listening to this, though, says, all right, I'll bet on his miracle, and does want to? Are you accepting donations to your campaign?
Oh, yes. We have a website, JanusaForMayor.com. We happily accept any donations. Matter of fact—
All right, so if you're accepting donations, though, how do you say you don't owe anybody—
Well, the fact that someone donates to your campaign means that they have a stake in the future of the city, not necessarily a stake in your pocket. That's my point. And in addition to actually seeking donations, we're actually interested in seeking volunteers for our campaign to wave signs all day long on Saturday to make our presence known.
You've already done some sign waving, and I understand you even have your grandchildren waving signs
for you.
Yes,
that's correct. That's correct.
If the miracle doesn't happen, if you don't achieve the trifecta and somehow bust the trends, and if you don't become the next mayor of New Orleans, if you don't get into a runoff, do you see yourself now, after a life in the private sector for as long as you've been in having a professional, an adult career, an adult life, do you see yourself now getting into politics beyond this one effort to become mayor?
If I do not become mayor, I will not run any political campaign again. I will still be involved in the city. I would likely be an advisor to the mayor, should that take place. I will be a force to be reckoned with at city council meetings. I will put my happy warrior hat on. But I will give them facts, and I will give them circumstances that they've got to think about, and I will give them ideas that they should implement, because that's what an involved, engaged citizen does. For a guy who's born here and lived here his entire life, with the exception of a six-month period after Katrina, you know, the lifeblood of the city, you know, courses through my veins every day. You know, I live for this city. My ancestors, you know, built half this city. And they are the ones that give me the impetus to go on to fight this fight. Really, to fight against the injustice and the stupidity of City Hall. That's my force. I'm just a happy warrior. And I'm going to do what I can to make this city the best it can be and make it the Queen City of the South again.
And no, that's really what democracy is about, isn't it?
Well, it really is.
Anybody can run.
Yes. I'm smiling because we need more happy warriors.
Yes.
We find ourselves where we are today because of apathy, right? That people are not being servant leaders, that people are not stepping up. And that's apathy is a byproduct of all of that. And you have to have happy warriors to go out and make a difference in your community each and every day. Simple things. I do it, and I talk about it on a show. I pick up a piece of litter every day. I make it a goal to just find a piece of litter, pick it up, go throw it in a garbage can. It can be small gestures. It can be grand gestures. It can
sure.
be a whole lot of
sure.
different things.
And what I do, I tell everybody, just go out and vote. About 3 weeks ago, my oldest grandson became 18 years of age. He registered to vote. And on the first day of early voting last Saturday, for the first time in his adult life, he voted for his grandfather for mayor. So that's exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
But voter apathy, 4 years ago in the mayor's race, less than 29% of registered voters voted. Less than 79,000 votes were cast, which meant that it only takes 40,000 votes to become mayor of the city that's got, you know, 360,000 people in it.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I think we found ourselves at a plateau where we just don't give a damn anymore. And that's a sad commentary,
right?
It's a sad commentary. Tip O'Neill said it well. All politics are local. If you're looking for your quality of life to be improved, it's not by voting for a president. It's by voting for a mayor, voting for a council member.
Everything's local.
By voting for a clerk of court, a judge, or other. That's what impacts your life. That'll move it, you know, 10 to 20 degrees right or left, as opposed to any other race in this country. And I don't know that we talk about that enough.
We do not. We do not. You know. And I think people are dissuaded from.
I could tell you, there's a if you're not successful, if whoever wins, they would be very smart to reach out to you and ask you to come on Air Administration and help, because you have done work that this city needs guidance on.
Well, and it sounds like some of what you have done, no one in City Hall has done in terms of breaking things down, looking at things analytically, assessing the problems and trying to find solutions, that perhaps, you know, that those conversations should be happening within City Hall, not in your CPA office.
Well, that's because few people decide to read the 242-page financial statement of the city.
Yeah. Or you and I might be one of the only
one of the few. And if you want some fascinating,
I don't know
late
if I can
night,
stay awake long enough.
And if you want fascinating late night reading, read the Home Rule Charter.
Yeah, I started
and fell asleep.
Yeah, it's like I'm done. I can't do this.
That's where you drew the line.
Yes,
and it's actually a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
And we're talking with Frank Janusa. We do have to get one more break, so we'll take that now. We'll come back with some final thoughts from the leading Republican. Are there any other Republicans on the ballot amongst
the
11 candidates?
I'm the only Republican.
The only Republican in the race for mayor of New Orleans. We're back with him after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Frank Janusa, we have about a minute left for the only Republican in the race for mayor of New Orleans. In the last public poll released, was polling at 7%. It is your opportunity to say anything else you want to share with our audience before we let you go.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank all of the voters in the city that I have had the privilege to meet with and talk to and engage with. All those who listened to the items in my platform, those who heard my speeches on the various and different venues all over the city. Fascinating group of people we have in the city. We've got a city that can be vibrant once again. I think we've got a city where a lot of the people are engaged. They want to see a city that works better, a city where their children can get a decent education, where their tax dollars are spent wisely, and where their life is not in jeopardy on a daily basis, where quality of life is once again a hallmark of the city. We've got a city that can be fascinating again. We've got a city that can be the Queen City of the South. I've met so many people across town, across this whole area, people of different backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, rich, poor, medium, and it's just been a wonderful experience. And I'm thankful. All I want to say is, God bless the city of New Orleans. Let's make it grow.
Frank Janusa, candidate for mayor. All right, Newell will be back next hour. You got Raphael Goyeneche coming in.
Raphael Goyeneche. And Frank, thank you so much for joining us today. And we thank you for putting yourself out there.
Thank you, Sheriff.
It's hard. And,
it's an honor being here. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And
Election,
you too, Dave.
Thank you. Election Day, Saturday, coming up just in three more days.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.